join me in prayer. God, your words touch us. Your musical notes reach us in places sometimes we don't expect. We thank you for the gift of words. We thank you for the gift of music. We thank you for the gift of peace. And God, we just all pray in our own ways for peace. And so we lift up the prayers that may be too silent to speak out loud. We lift them up to you. And we ask that you would use the meditations on our hearts and our minds, and that you would hear us, and you would wrap us in your peace and your comfort. You would inspire us. You would propel us forward, even if it's just one step at a time. We ask all this, God, in your many names. Amen. Well, Sharon was not the only person moved by that song. Amen? So, Mac, turn my mic off for a second. Don't let me forget that's in my pocket. You know, humble matters. Humble matters. Janice talked before the service about how the music was just going to be awesome today. Not that it's not every Sunday, but sometimes the music goes places we don't expect it to go. Amen? You know, we have in this scripture two people who are going to the temple to pray. And that's a good thing, right? That they're going to the temple to pray. And one of them says, God, surely I am a good person. I'm here. We're here on Sunday, right? Despite Halloween celebrations that lasted until 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, we're here on Sunday, right? Surely that matters. And so this one person says in prayer, I am surely more worthy than these other people, right? The robbers and the adulterers, those thieves who are out there. Surely that matters that I am here. And therefore I am more deserving than those people. Now I'm not trying to put names on us. But has anyone ever had that kind of thought? I have. Am I by myself? Surely it matters that when I pull up next to the people who have the signs out that say hungry or mom, veteran, when we give them the money, I know there's various schools of thought on it. Some say you're just feeding their addiction, but I can't drive by them without giving them at least the change in my car, because that could be me. Just one bad decision away from losing a house. Losing a home, losing a family. We're all just one decision away from that, aren't we? In this economy, if it's taught us one thing, and I know some people learned this lesson earlier, but some of us didn't. We are just one poor financial decision away from not being very solvent. And gosh knows we feel it in this church every week. Since 2008, it seems like it's a struggle. Do we have enough money? Do we have enough money to pay the staff? Do we have enough money to pay the mortgage? Do we have to delay the tithe payment to the denomination? Do we have to ask the pest control company if they can divide our payment into three different payments instead of all at once? We have felt that being on the edge before. We hope it goes away. You are doing as much as you can. We get that. But we feel it in a way we never felt it before. Have we ever believed that we are more deserving than others? Our church does more good. We have a food pantry. It is open. Ross talked about it in the call for the offering. That we give to people who come here humbly asking. People are probably hungry today in our society who've never been hungry before because their company dissolved into financial distress after years and years maybe of prosperity. A restaurant that you used to visit, you go there and it's closed because the whatever happened. Maybe they were they didn't have insurance and the restaurant caught fire, the kitchen. Whatever it may be, we are just so close to a disaster. We may never even know it. We may never even know it. Have you ever had to ask for help? Raise your hand if you've ever had to ask for help. What goes through your mind? How do you feel when you have to ask for help? Hopeless, weak, embarrassed, humbled, like a failure. And yet, when you asked for help, were you made to feel weak? Did whoever you were asking for help, were they embarrassed? What were the people who you asked for help? What was their response? Grateful? Willing? Kind, maybe? Why didn't you ask earlier? Why did you suffer for so long? And isn't that what our God does? We are the ones who put a barrier between ourselves and God. God's love can't solve our financial matters. God's love can't solve maybe our addiction issues. God's love can't solve our lack of a job. But God's love can give us peace and comfort if we let it. This first prayer who entered the temple said, it's all about me. I'm a good person. I'm here. I'm praying. I fast twice a day. I'm here twice a week. I'm here. And so as a result of what I'm doing, I must be worthy. But the beauty of this message is the beauty in the song that the choir presented for us is it's not about what we do, as much as it's about why we do it. And that's what the message says. It was the person who said, I am a sinner. I am a sinner, forgive me. Give me mercy. That is the person who received it. When we recognize in ourselves, we are called to be good people. We're called to treat others the way God treats us, to love us unconditionally. To love others unconditionally, to give, to treat our brothers as if our brothers are loved just as much as we are, to love our brothers as God loves us. If we can get to that point, then we're doing that hard work associated with being in relationship. You know what? I know I've done some things in my life God didn't like. Now, I'm not talking about you. But I know I've done some things God didn't like. I can't tell you I've never had a bad thought when somebody cut me off in traffic. I can't tell you that two of those students got under my skin all those years of being in a school principalship. I know I've had some thoughts that I wouldn't have want broadcasted to the world. But God loves me anyway. Amen? God loves me when I'm weak. God loves me when I'm strong. God loves you when you're weak. God loves you when you're strong. God loves you no matter what. And how we approach that and what we do with it is the promise of this text. We have to do things not because of what they do for us, though I don't mean you can't feel good doing things. But when you bring food into the food pantry, if it's about what makes you feel good, that's the wrong focus. It needs to be about the good you're doing for people you may never know, who are being fed as a result of your buying one and getting one free. Yeah? BOGO. If you can't do anything else, when you go shopping, you can do that. If you don't have one more penny to put towards an effort, you can stretch them further by clipping coupons. You can give even if you just give your time. These two people right here were drafted into service for a fundraiser. And they came willingly, at least for our appearances. And they served a community they may not yet belong to, because they knew it mattered that this church have a financial shot in the arm. Thank you for doing that. Thank you to the people who organized it and worked at all of them. We are gifted time and time again by the generosity of people who come through these doors. And it is our job, humbly, to share those gifts with others. Today, let us know that our call, our church's mission says, serve in gratitude. Say it with me. Serve in gratitude. Humbly serving others is something we can do that costs us nothing other than a change of mindset. And it's our church's mission for a reason. And I'm going to tell you something. This was a tough week in this church, because we not only felt the absence of paid staff, we felt the absence of, I'm going to say this and I hope you hear it the right way, we heard the absence of an army. Here's what I mean. Mac is not paid to work on Mondays or Tuesdays. When he left on Sunday, after a hard weekend for the fall fling, knowing what was coming up this week for an outside vendor renting our space, I bet you he went home pretty tired on Sunday night. I bet you some other people were tired on Sunday night. And when he walked in the doors on Monday morning and he saw that water, and I don't know why Mac was here, but I'm grateful that he was. He didn't say, I'm too tired, I'm going to turn around and leave. He waded right in, as Mac usually does. And he just did what needed to be done. And when he called for Ross or Richard, whoever he called first, they went right into action. I bet you, if we had called you, you would have been here too. This church, on days it's closed or on days it's open, is a place of sanctuary. And people come here for a variety of reasons, and they do for others. Now, I'm not going to say we don't sometimes feel like doing for others feels good. This text tells us it can't be our primary motivation. And I promise you, gathering up all that water, finding fans, worrying about I need to be someplace else, I had other plans, those things didn't matter. The work before us mattered. And so again, Mac and Ross and Richard, we thank you that you put aside those things that needed to happen to ensure you took the best care possible of this church. They didn't do that for themselves. They did it so that the church could be here. I think most of us come here because we need this church to be here. We need a place to gather with people we love, where people love us. And I'm going to tell you one more thing. I'm delighted that Reverend Sutherland is coming. I am so delighted because we need to move further than we are. And he has training specifically geared towards getting us ready for the next chapter in the church's history. Look around you. Look around you for a moment. We need these seats filled. We don't need them filled for ourselves. We need them filled so that 5 years from now, there are three services instead of one. Amen? There are a lot of people who deserve to know God loves them unconditionally, and they're not here. So we need to march forward ever so intentionally, knowing that God loves us, created us, called us to be here, and that we are here for the purpose not of serving ourselves, though it feels good to be here, but for the purpose of serving others. And that through humble service, we are sharing the message God intends us to hear again and again and again. When we do things from the right mindset, the right heart set, it can feel good. But it has to be from a motivation of how does it help others? Having said that, it doesn't mean you can't come to church broken. It doesn't mean that you can't come here needing to be fixed and glued, super glued back together. Kind of like Humpty Dumpty, right? Many of us come here broken because we've been cast aside somewhere. But once we get here and the glue sticks, that can't be all. We have to, once we're put back together, do for others. And that is the message of this text. It's the message we need to hear again and again and again. Humble matters. It's okay for us to do things for ourselves as long as the humility extends to us that it is through God's grace that we have a day, a breath, to give to someone else. Can we do that, MCC? I hear three people. Can I hear all of you? Can we do this, MCC? That food pantry matters. The fact that a non-alcoholic, non-narcotic recovery club could host a Halloween festival in a hall big enough matters. And that's what happened last night. The fact that sometime in the near future, a family wants to have two children baptized here, that matters. The fact that some of you not only give of your time and your talent here in this church, but what you do impacts people who come here and they hear a message or they have a song that resonates in their head, that matters. So MCC, each and every one of you, we are called to do for others. Fix ourselves first, but we are called to do for others. Humility and humbleness matter. So as you go forward this week, hear this message again and again and again. In doing good, if you're only doing it for how it looks for you, you need to really retool your thinking. It's got to be, it may make you feel good, but I think the central tenet is, does it help others? So as we move into Thanksgiving season, as we move into the month of November, where we begin sometimes to get a repetitive message of thankfulness, let us remember that being thankful has to be okay. We are. Now what do we do with it? Amen? God, we give you thanks and praise for the opportunity to really think about your text, to look at it, to Pleasure, rest, to find comfort in the knowledge that you are always there for us, and that it is our job, our role, our call to make a difference in the lives of people we may never know. And God, we just ask that you continue to bless us with one another, that on this journey together, we may never find ourselves alone. We may never find ourselves without someone to whisper encouragement to us in the physical form as you whisper it to us. May we always recognize that in doing your work, if we focus on the work, we are doing what you've asked of us. And God, we just give you thanks for all of the people who say yes. May they continue to know the beauty of the gifts you give. Give to others always. Amen.
My name is Reverend Jacob Hero, and I'm one of the many ministers in the life of this church. This is the time for our monthly Funding Our Future offering, and for those who haven't had a chance to look at the back of your bulletin yet, don't look right now while I'm talking, please. But after church, you can do that. There's a little bit of info about Presley, Reverend Presley Sutherland, who I have to say that when I got a call from Tammy, and she told me who it would be, and I heard his name. My first thought was, thank God. This is an amazing, amazing man, an amazing preacher and pastor. I had the joy of getting to worship with him a number of times when he was in North London, and I was studying in Wales. And what I want to say is, comes kind of from what Reverend Presley wrote here, his quote about what this time is. So as we are thinking about our future, this is a really special time that we have together as a family of faith. We are grieving together the shift of our congregation, not just in losing a pastor, but in kind of losing an identity, as always happens when a long-term pastor leaves. But from that grief, we get to reimagine who we are. And that's not just about a shift in leadership. That's about this being an intentional time that's about us. This is the most important time right now for this congregation. Is not just, okay, now we're going to have this person here while we're looking for someone new. This is, we're going to have this person who's specially trained to help us, to serve us, to help us to become the best us that we can be. So getting him here is not cheap, of course. We are covering his moving expenses, and so this month, this offering is probably even more important than average. So remember that we are growing in our unique selves as a family of faith, and your contributions help in that growth. Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, thank you for the opportunities that come from stress and from joy and for all the ways that we love each other. Help us to welcome a new member into our family. Help us to have open hearts as he arrives and to bless him on his journey here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You can hear me, God, I know you're there. God, I pray that you will listen to my humble prayer. Yes, I know I'm just an outcast, but still I speak to you. God, I think of you and wonder, were you once an outcast too?
I ask for God and the angels to bless me.